It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
We have to do a lot about forest management. Obviously, forest management in California is very important.
We have not done justice on our forest management. I don't think anyone disputes that.
If you give a climate arsonist 4 more years in the White House, why would anyone be surprised if we have more America ablaze?
Please respect, and I know you do, the difference of opinion out here as it relates to this fundamental issue on the issue of climate change.
Absolutely.
Here's the thing. There is so much at stake in this discussion. It isn't just about fires. I mean, all that's serious enough. In fact, we have something like 3 million acres have been burned. People are losing their homes, their businesses, their lives. The latest one, I think a young family escaped. They were severely burned trying to get out of their home, but their little boy, a year old, died in the blaze. Terrible. And they're not the only ones, of course, who have lost their lives or been burned. Think about all the firefighters. There is a lot at stake here. And the president went to California, met with Gavin Newsom and with other people who surround him, and they had a disagreement over what was causing these fires. Before we get to that, though, I kind of want to listen to this report from Fox News, because Christina Coleman kind of lays out better than I just did what's happening out there. Clip two.
Grim scenes unfolding all along the West Coast as search crews and cadaver dogs comb through burned out neighborhoods and evacuees return to what was once home.
Came back here for the first time and it's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I had seen videos, but it's 1,000 times worse than I could have ever imagined.
Almost 90 large fires are burning across 10 western states, scorching nearly 5 million acres, according to National Fire Statistics. That's an area roughly equivalent to Connecticut and Rhode Island combined. And with red flag warnings once again in the forecast, fire crews say resources and energy are running low.
Imagine you're carrying a 100-pound pack up 5 miles and then swinging a tool for another 10 hours straight. So that's some really challenging work. You're doing that day in, day out.
The firefight also tiring for homeowners who tried their best to help out.
Exhausting, nonstop. Fires, putting out fires, coming back and putting them out again.
The other battle crews and residents face is the smoke. It's produced a creepy orange haze and completely blanketed city skylines like in Seattle and Portland, which currently have the worst air quality in the world. Satellite images from space show the smoke as it swirls its way toward the East Coast. Firefighters say it makes their job all the more difficult.
That poses a big problem for our firefighters, as it's a safety issue. We just can't clearly identify where the fire's at, and it limits our resources to get air reconnaissance and additional help.
And you can see some of the smoke from the Bobcat fire burning here in the Angeles National Forest. You also have these firefighters hard at work trying to get these flames under control. Now, at least 35 people have died from wildfires burning here in the West Coast, including 24 right here in California, and at least 24 people are still missing.
That's really amazing thing to behold. You may not remember, I certainly do. My father had lots of family in California, including his twin brother. So when I was a kid, we used to go out a lot. And it was honestly the most beautiful state in this union. Sorry, New York. Sorry, Pennsylvania, Virginia. Honestly, California with its variety of terrain. That's why the Hollywood established themselves out there, because you could find anything in California. Pristine, beautiful. I remember people wearing suits. I remember when Disneyland was brand new and clean, and Walt Disney wanted it for the children and not as a money-making machine that produced, you know, movies that persuaded kids to homosexuality. It was a really much more innocent age, and California was at the center of it. But California is not that anymore. And you can see that the governance of California has come a long way, baby, since Governor Ronald Reagan. And so in regard to these fires, I just need to say before we get into kind of a deeper discussion of this, that we know that there are arsonists, many arsonists setting these fires. In Portland, Portland and Seattle now have been declared to have the worst air quality of almost, I don't know if it's any cities in the country or in the world. Isn't that ironic? It's the Northwest and Northern California where the environmentalists have, you know, had the most sway, where they have taken the most pride, you know, in their clean air and how clean living. Maybe Colorado would be in there too. And now they have the worst because their governance, the policies that they have in brought into being have had consequences. So we have arsonists working in Portland. One has been arrested. And we have in Northern California, the reason for one of those fires that destroyed so many acres was a gender reveal party. Is that not a collision of two worlds, the massive beauty of God's creation and the foolishness, the place where we've come here in this country in which we live, maybe in the world, we could say. So that's what's happening in the West Coast. Now, people are weighing in on why they think this is happening. Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, weighed in, and this is how he described it. Clip 8.
The heat dome over the entire West Coast of the United States, when you have temperatures, record-breaking temperatures, record droughts, then you've got something else at play. And that's exactly what the scientists have been predicting for a half a century. It is here now. California, folks, is America fast forward. What we're experiencing right here is coming to a community all across the United States of America unless we get our act together on climate change. Unless we disabuse ourselves of all the BS that's being spewed by a very small group of people that have an ideological reason to advance the cause of a 19th century framework and solution. We're not going back to the 19th century. We're not apologists to that status quo. We believe in the fresh air of progress versus the stale air. Emphasis, stale air, normalcy.
Wow, is that ironic or what? This is progress. He's declaring this is progress, and it's just inevitable that this progress would bring these kind of wildfires and destruction to his state. Let me borrow from you an article that was in an outlet this morning. I'll think of it in just a second. Tom Elliott is the name of the writer. He says that Gavin Newsom, like his predecessor Jerry Brown, believes in an unusual theory positing, basically, that free market capitalism alters the global climate such that California keeps catching on fire. And then, of course, he's repeating what Newsom just said. This perfect storm. The debate is over around climate change. The debate is over, Newsom said from atop an ash heap. Just come to the state of California. Observe it with your own eyes. It's not an intellectual debate. It's not even debatable. We're in the midst of a climate emergency. We're in the midst of a climate crisis. We are experiencing weather conditions the likes of which we've never experienced in our lifetime. And then he talks about the reality. But then Tom Elliott weighs in. In actual reality, the reason California's wildfires are getting increasingly out of control is not because of climate change, but because of California's elected leaders. Climate change superstitions. Rather than employing basic, time-tested steps at mitigating wildfire risk that mankind has employed for millennia, California politicians instead offer sacrifices of their own economic capacity to atone for earlier environmental interventions and other sins of unfettered commerce. There is so many things to say about this. In fact, we'll put this article, 5 Things California Could Do to Stop Wildfires If Governor Newsom Weren't So Stupid. That's the name of it. And it goes through a names list, 5 different things, practical things that, you know, forests around, we're not the only country that has forests. Many, many European countries do, and they employ these techniques that this writer, Tom Elliott, lays out about how to, you know, preserve your forest, just the way you manage your waterfall, the way you collect water, all the things that California has not been doing, the way that you burn intentionally brush so that you can protect the larger forest areas. And so he goes through and explains these, and basically he says, in conclusion, Californians take note. If wildfires do become the new normal, don't blame global warming. Blame your governor. This is a great article, and I think under the circumstances, we should have more knowledge about this. Interestingly enough, Nancy Pelosi weighed in with her thoughts about it. I thought perhaps you might want to hear what Nancy Pelosi, her diagnosis. This is her state, by the way. Let's listen.
We have these fires in California and in the West. 16 people have died in Washington, Oregon, and California, including a firefighter and a one-year-old baby. Our firefighters have been so very, very courageous. Now we're again breaking records. Mother Earth is angry. She's telling us, whether she's telling us with hurricanes on the Gulf Coast, fires in the West, whatever it is, that the climate crisis is real and has an impact.
All right, so that's just a little bit of what Nancy had to say, but I guess the part I want to zero in on is her whole Mother Earth thing. Mother Earth is angered by this climate crisis. She's angry. She's telling us, whether she's telling us with hurricanes on the Gulf Coast, fires in the West, whatever it is, that the climate crisis is real and has an impact. This is a moment where climate change worshipers want to drive home the point that, you know, because President Trump and people like me who hold a different viewpoint of nature and of storms and weather are the cause of this. And I just want to point out a couple of things. We could talk about the politics of it. We could talk about the science of it. But I want to talk about this, the deep-seated paganism that's going on here. And now Nancy Pelosi all the time talks about being Catholic. She loves to quote verses. Of course, her policies are the opposite of what God's word teaches. So it shouldn't be a surprise that she would actually break the first commandment, that you can't, you will not, there are no other gods before me. I'm a jealous God. The first commandment, you will serve the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. And we know that God created the earth. That's what Catholics believe. That's what Christians believe. That's what the Bible says, and we certainly believe that. And it is the first commandment. It is the first one. There's no other God. There's not a Mother Earth who has something to do with creation. It is an almighty God who laid the foundations of the earth and the parameters of the heavens and, you know, created all things, the cycle of nature and weather, all of that. There is no Mother Earth, and that is just, that's blasphemy right there as a Catholic and as a Christian. That is just blasphemy. There's no room for that. That's paganism. It reminds me of Romans 1, where there are people who become so immoral and confused in their thinking, worship the creation rather than the creator. And so I just want to point out to you that, Houston, we have a problem with that. And if these kinds of terrible disasters, like the other hurricanes that are hitting the Gulf Coast, and we'll hopefully get to that, but you're going to get that on the news, and I trust that you'll be listening, that they're terrible, terrible assaults from nature itself, which was put in place by God, the Almighty God, the only one that can control the weather. I think that's part of the reason why just common sense should tell us, if you have an understanding of who God is, that man cannot control weather. That is just the height of hubris, and that is the quintessential humanism, isn't it? I think the Soviets never went that far to think that mankind could actually make things cooler and warmer in the universe. I mean, that really is hubris, and that really is shaking your fist in the face of God, because you can't do that. It's just not possible. That's like an ant telling you, telling you what to do, bossing you around, you human. It's not going to happen. It isn't going to happen. It's delusional. President Trump got into an interesting back and forth yesterday with the California Secretary of Natural Resources. And I think it was, it's kind of the same but different. And I want you to listen to this exchange. Let's listen.
We want to work with you to really recognize the changing climate and what it means to our forests, and actually work together with that science. That science is going to be key, because if we ignore that science and sort of put our head in the sand and think it's all about vegetation management, we're not going to succeed together protecting Californians.
Okay. It'll start getting cooler.
You just watch. I wish science agreed with you.
Well, I don't think science knows, actually.
Say that, I mean, not that, you know, President Trump's being criticized for that. Of course he's being criticized for everything, but that really was just common sense. I think it actually is going to get cooler. I don't really think science knows. No, science doesn't know. We don't know either, because there is a God in heaven. And he's the creator, and we really don't know what's going to happen with the climate, nor can we control it. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Mainstream media doesn't want you to know that the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, had a racist legacy stemming from her well-documented connections with the eugenics movement. Planned Parenthood positions their clinics in low-income neighborhoods even today and performs abortions on minorities at an alarming rate. I'm Dan Steiner, the president of Preborn, a ministry dedicated to saving babies' lives from abortion through ultrasound. Preborn centers compete with Planned Parenthood every day in the cause for life, and Preborn is making a huge impact. When an expectant mother sees her baby on ultrasound and hears that heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
Preborn centers are the largest providers of free ultrasounds in the country as they equip centers to save more babies and souls. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
Thursday, October 8th at 7 p.m. Central, concerned citizens from across the nation will gather for the AFA at Home virtual town hall. Register for free at afaaction.net. It's an opportunity for you to tap into the trusted insight of our panel of frontline culture warriors, Sandy Rios, Dr. Richard Land, Star Parker, Abraham Hamilton III, the Benham Brothers, and Tim Barton. Topics include censorship and social media, the sanctity of life, socialism, the threat to America's republic, and more.
Hi, I'm Walker Wildman, host of AFA at Home. At this critical time in America, it's important that we stay abreast of the threats to our nation's future. That's why we're bringing you AFA at Home, our first ever virtual town hall. Join us.
AFA at Home streams live Thursday, October 8th at 7 p.m. Central at afaaction.net. Register for free at afaaction.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text pound 250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text pound 250 with the keyword baby. Text pound 250 with the keyword baby. Two Los Angeles County deputy sheriffs were ambushed over the weekend, gunned down in their patrol car. Both deputies are expected to survive gruesome injuries. Eyewitnesses filmed the aftermath, laughing and mocking the wounded officers. Not a single bystander rushed to administer aid. At the hospital, Black Lives Matter protesters showed up and tried to storm the hospital. They were unsuccessful. But what was the point of that? What would have happened had they been successful? Would the mob have interrupted surgeries? Would they have attacked the doctors and nurses? Would they have dragged the bodies of the officers through the streets of Los Angeles? President Trump rightly called the gunman an animal. It was a savage and cowardly attack, and so was what happened outside that hospital. As we are discovering, there are no boundaries to human depravity. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern or download my free podcast at toddstarnes.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
You know, I wasn't able to talk about the shooting yet this morning, but I was just thinking, you know, Todd ended by talking about there's no end to the depravity that men reach, the depths to which they go. I used to, when I was on radio in Chicago, you can imagine there were lots of horrible things that happened in the news. It was a nightly, like a recitation of horrible things that people did to one another. And I can remember reading those news stories and really honestly just weeping. I could not bear it because one horrible story would be followed by another. And I would think it can't get worse than this, but then it would get worse than that. And it reminds me very much of Genesis when the world became so violent that God interceded because he hated the violence that men did to one another. And he sent a great flood. And I find myself wondering if we aren't approaching some sort of judgment like that. All right, well, I want to transition to something else because we have a big election coming up. Did you know that? That in about 50 days, we have an election for President of the United States. And I've asked someone to join us this morning who's the President of the American I'm getting ready to choke here just a second. Lori Roman, you got to help me here. Lori is the President of the American Civil Rights Union. Excuse me. It's allergies. And there is a crisis happening that we are not seeing. I think just like the crisis in the nursing homes that happened during COVID, where especially in New York, the governor sent people who were COVID positive back into nursing homes. And many of you lost your parents. And if you didn't lose them to COVID, you lost them because you can't see them. They've been sealed off. They've not been protected by you. They've not been loved on by you except by phone calls and things. It is really a travesty what has happened to our elderly, our grandparents, our parents. It really is. Well, now something else is about to happen to them. And we've gotten reports that the ACLU and the League of Women's Voters are planning a very pretty intricate plan to go into nursing homes and harvest the ballots of elderly people coming up in this election. Well, people are taking note of that. Certain people are. And Lori Roman and her organization, the American Civil Rights Union, has certainly taken note. And I've asked her to join us this morning to talk about what that's all about and what we can do. Lori, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Sandy. It is just tragic when you think about the difficulties that folks in senior residential facilities have gone through this year. And it's just been horrible. I have firsthand experience. I know that when my father was in assisted living and later in a nursing home, I found out that when I wasn't there to take care of him and keep an eye on his treatment, that his treatment went downhill a bit. He didn't have all of his rights protected when I wasn't there to protect him. And now we have the situation with COVID where family members have not been able to be in there. They're not been able to protect them. And now we're going into an election season and the family members are there to protect them and their right to vote, which these folks have earned. Many of them are veterans of foreign wars. They've earned every bit of a right to vote. And we have been worried that their votes are either going to be suppressed or stolen without family oversight in this election. And we have received tips on our election fraud hotline that that have told us that League of Women Voters, ACLU, have plans in place to harvest ballots, to pick up the ballots from nursing homes. We even got a recent tip in the last week that in a nursing home in Florida, that leftist activists have been accosting staff, workers of the assisted living in the parking lot, telling them we don't know what. But we are very worried, and we're trying to get the word out to protect the seniors.
Lori, I just realized, you know, coming on the wings of what I said about COVID and the shutdown and all of that, that because nursing homes are still shut down, to my knowledge, then the parents or the children and grandchildren are not able to go in, or friends, and even help with balloting, even help fill out, and so that falls to the staff, doesn't it?
Yes, and that is a big danger. So we have a big campaign. We have a website that people can go to get information and help. It's called protectelderlyvotes.org, protectelderlyvotes.org. We have an election fraud hotline there, as we do on our regular ACRU site. And we have information there, Senior Citizen Voting Bill of Rights. And we are also, in the midst of a campaign, we are reaching out to assisted living and nursing home across the country, the directors, asking them to train their staff on the state and federal laws governing voting for their residents to ensure that no votes are suppressed or stolen, that their right to vote is protected and enabled, but that the ballots safely get to the election officials, not harvested by strangers or leftist groups. And we are starting a radio campaign to try to inform family members that they need to get involved. They need to talk to the nursing homes, ask them how they are making the ballot available to their family member, how they plan on getting it to the election office. Hopefully, they're either mailing it, letting the resident mail it themselves at their facility, or in some counties, election officials will come and they will pick up the ballots for them, not turning it over to some outside group where you don't know whether your ballot actually makes it to the office. But we're also doing a radio campaign called Stranger Danger. And we're talking about how, you know, Our senior citizens have taught us well. They taught their children and grandchildren, stranger danger, protect yourself from strangers with bad motives. And what we're seeing this election cycle is that applies to senior citizens this year, too. It's not just the children. Stranger danger means don't let strangers handle your ballot. And family members get involved and make sure that the ballots of their family members get to the election officials safely.
All right, so you have this election hotline, Lori. And again, let's repeat that the website is protectelderlyvotes.org. Excuse me, protectelderlyvotes.org. And I guess if you, when you go to that, you get the hotline number?
Yes, you can get the hotline number. The hotline number is 877-730-ACRU. That stands for American Constitutional Rights Union. It used to be American Civil Rights Union, but we changed our name recently, American Constitutional Rights Union. 877-730-ACRU. Now, that election fraud hotline doesn't just work for the senior citizen voting. That is our election fraud hotline for every issue. We work on voting integrity for everyone. But at protectelderlyvotes.org, they can get the senior citizen voting bill of rights. They can get educated before they talk to the nursing home on behalf of their family members. We may have some folks who are in assisted living, and they are. They can take this into their own hands. They can print it out. They can pass it around to their fellow residents and friends. They can talk to the staff. But we really would like to see nursing home directors around the country take the initiative, train their staff. Voting fraud is a crime. It could land you in prison. And train their staff not to tamper with the ballots or to do anything to disrespect the voting rights of the senior citizens in their facilities. That's where the responsibility really lies. And you don't hear about that very much.
No, not at all. That's why I asked you to join me this morning, because I hadn't thought of this at all. And I'm wondering how would the ACLU, let's look, there are going to be other organizations, I'm sure, trying to harvest ballots from nursing homes, but you did get wind of the story about the League of Women Voters and the ACLU planning to do this. How would they do that if they can't get into nursing homes, if parents or children can't, and grandchildren and friends cannot visit the elderly, how could they get inside? What would they do?
Well, our understanding from our tip and looking into it a little bit further with some election officials in Florida, at least, they have actually reached out to nursing home directors. They've even reached out to some election supervisors in Florida, and they have gotten permission to gather the ballots and take them to the polling place. There's no.
Are you kidding me? You mean so?
I am not kidding.
Oh, that would be great. ACLU picking up ballots at nursing homes. I can't imagine what they do with those ballots. This is just frightening. It really is, because there are enough seniors. Really, I don't know what the number is. I guess we've lost a lot of them through COVID, but this could sway an election. And as I understand it, they are targeting. Why are they targeting swing states? They're targeting Florida because it has such a massive seniors population. What do you know about that, Lori?
Well, the particular tip that we got into our fraud hotline, which we investigated and found out more information about, the League of Women Voters is approaching. They have reached out to election supervisors in Florida. They have informed them that they will be ballot harvesting. They don't call it that, but that's what it is. They make it sound very nice, so they're going to help the elderly vote. But they're collecting the ballots, and they are taking them. They say that they will bring them into the election officials. One election official I talked to said that the League of Women Voters asked the election officials in that county if they could be held harmless and not liable for anything that may happen to the ballots between point A and point B. Now, the answer to that, of course, was no, but the answer to ballot harvesting in Florida, which is supposed to be illegal, is that there is a loophole. And because they claim that they're not paying their ballot harvesters, they are volunteers, that they are slipping through the loophole. So Florida does ban ballot harvesting by paid ballot harvesters, but that's their loophole that they're slipping through, and apparently they are getting permission by some directors of nursing homes to pick up the ballots. That
wow.
is wrong. That is just absolutely disgusting that any nursing home director would to give up their own responsibility to make sure those ballots get there safely. They have no idea what happens to the ballots once they hand them over to an outside group that leans in one particular direction.
So, Lori, let's just kind of rehearse again what people can do. You've given the hotline. Let me repeat it. If they see something, they can call 877-730-ACRU. ACRU. I didn't know you changed your name. American Constitutional Rights Union. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. We just changed it.
It threw me.
They can reach out through the website, protectallelegvotes.org. They can email us, or they can use the vote fraud hotline and call us. We investigate all the tips that we get. We do have contacts with authorities. We can contact nursing homes. We are known for litigating. We are the group that litigated against Broward County, Florida, in 2016 for not cleaning up their election voting rolls. And we have litigated against a number of counties in the country who refused to clean up their voting rolls, and some in Mississippi where they had more registered voters than they had citizens and things like that. So we do have a history on voting integrity that goes back over a decade. We will investigate, and we will take proper action. We will speak with nursing home directors. We will, if necessary, take it to authorities. We will interview people, and we will thoroughly vet the problem. And, of course, we will name and shame when necessary, because I just have a really soft spot for our older generation, and anyone who we find and we can find the evidence that they are taking advantage or allowing anyone else to take advantage of the elderly, we will name them and shame them and take every action we can to make sure that they're accountable.
Yes, Lori, I'm with you. I don't think anything in the COVID mess made me more angry than what was happening to our elderly. I mean, that just cut like a knife, and it still upsets me to even think about it. And so to think now on the heels of that, they would take advantage of that situation and harvest the ballots, send people in, council, aides, whatever they're doing, to sit down as, I'm just being friendly with you. I'll just help you and fill out this ballot for you. And then I'll let the ACLU, take it off to heaven knows where and have the nursing home directors allow them to do that. It's just unconscionable. And so we need to stop it. If you have a family member, an aunt or an uncle, a grandmother in a facility, that's probably something you can do right away is call the director or go and see them and say, what are you doing about voting? How are you going to handle that? And then you can refer them to this website, protectelderlyvotes.org, because they may be innocent. They may not know. It's possible that they haven't even thought about how the election's probably going to be a bit of a dilemma for them because of the COVID restrictions. And so, Lori, is there any kind of positive way or plan to help the seniors vote? I mean, if it were to work like it should, how should it work?
Well, every state law is different. So the most important thing to do is to we have a portal through our site that says call your county. And you can call your county and ask what the laws are in your area. Now, in some states, only immediate family members can handle your ballot for you and take it anywhere for you. In some states, the states do outline who can touch your ballot, who can help you with your ballot, and how to do it. So it's different in every single state. So you can call your county election official, and you can find out what the law is. You can help ensure that family members get their absentee ballot. You can check with them, ask them if they got it, and tell them, don't let anyone help you fill it out. Fill it out yourself, mail it yourself if you need help. You can always talk to a family member over the phone as you go over the ballot. But the most proactive thing I think you can do is if you're in an assisted living and you're listening right now, or you have a family member who's in an assisted living or nursing home, or even a group home, is make sure they have their ballot, make sure they keep it secure, make sure they mail it securely, or they... and talk to the director of the nursing home.
Okay.
Another thing is,
Lori,
staff members, if you see something funny, you can call our fraud hotline too.
Okay, great. 877-730-ACRU. That's 877-730-ACRU. Or go to protectelderlyvotes.org for more information. Lori Roman, President of the American Constitutional Rights Union. Thanks for joining us, Larry. Lori, Sandy Rios in the Morning, AFR Talk.
Sometimes we fail to repent because we don't agree with God what sin is. We want to redefine it. We want to say, this is not sin because this is what I want to do.
If God Says No More to America, an article by Dr. Robert Youngblood.
Person who follows Christ, he has to fully explain to his heart through God's word that this is what God desires.
To read this article and more, visit afa.net/the stand.
Alex and Bert, you guys are such a blessing to us.
I have been wanting to call in for a while, honestly.
I really appreciate what you guys do.
Exploring the Word, where friends get together to learn more about the Bible.
My question is, coming out of the book of Genesis.
And the God of the Bible.
My son asked, who created God?
Join Bert Harper and Alex McFarland, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
God bless you for all you do.
God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you.
I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. A generation has been taught they descend from animals, that there is no God. They've been taught they are nothing more than a cosmic accident. They have no purpose, and life has no meaning. Life's meaninglessness has been punctuated for them by the 60 million children who've been slaughtered in the womb. And counting. But society is shocked when they act out exactly as they have been taught, like animals with no conscience. Respect for human life begins with respect for the life giver. America needs repentance.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Communist China refuses to acknowledge even the existence of God. California, on the other hand, acknowledges God in the very first words of its Constitution and specifically guarantees the free exercise of religion on the first page. Last weekend, Communist China completely shut down the largest house church in China. At the very same time, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, is determined to completely shut down John MacArthur's church in defiance of the United States Constitution. Bottom line, a tyrant in China shuts down a large evangelical church. A tyrant in California is trying to do the same thing. I see no material difference. What good is our Constitution if a politician treats it like waste paper? Tyranny is tyranny, whether you're in California or in China.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. How would you feel if America were at war, albeit a cold one, with a powerful enemy determined to destroy the country, and Wall Street financiers were giving that enemy many billions of dollars, possibly some of it yours? Unfortunately, as new letters from our Committee on the Present Danger China to the Hong Kong Stock Exchange, top U.S. investment banks, and President Trump make clear, this is not a hypothetical question. It's what's happening right now. And Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, and Citigroup intend soon to invest millions of American savings in a problematic Chinese company called Ant Technology Group. That's outrageous for investors, for our human rights values and national security, and for the freedom-aspiring people of Hong Kong. It must not happen. Learn more about why and how you can help prevent it at presentdangerchina.org. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I am officially declaring a national emergency.
6 months after President Trump declared a state of emergency over the coronavirus, new cases in the U.S. are beginning to decline. The recent seven-day average is down 15% to about 34,000 cases a day. But there are worrisome surges in parts of the Midwest, including both Dakotas, Nebraska, and Wisconsin, which set a single-day record for new cases with a 32% spike. There has not been a corresponding spike in hospitalizations yet, which may be due to the fact that many of the newly infected are college students, thousands of whom now have to take their classes online.
It's honestly a little sad being here just to see where you would have lived and see where you would have taken classes.
A range of threats by administrators has repeatedly failed to enforce social distancing on campus. This Miami University of Ohio student tells a police officer that he and others at this gathering had already tested positive for COVID-19.
How many other people have COVID?
They all do.
Everybody has it? We want to keep this town open. You're not quarantining if you're mixing with other people. So everybody here has it. Oh my gosh.
There is also positive news on a vaccine. The Pfizer CEO said his company expects to know whether a vaccine candidate in late-stage testing would work by October. If successful, that vaccine could be ready for distribution by the end of the year. Overseas, Israel will become the first country to reimpose a nationwide lockdown 4 months after opening its economy due to an infection rate among the highest in the world. In Pennsylvania, the owners of hair salons and movie theaters have sued the governor, saying restrictions on their businesses are unconstitutional, and a federal judge has agreed with them, striking down the restrictions on business.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. I want to talk a little bit about COVID because we should. You know, it's like we live in several different worlds, and most of them not good. I have friends in Michigan who are just miserable. I have friends in Illinois who are just miserable. Friends in Virginia that are miserable. And I want to just kind of bring you up to date on some more of that misery. Out in California, John MacArthur has just received a preliminary injunction. And that order prohibits, you may recall that John MacArthur has been in a battle with the authorities in Los Angeles for a while now. He has ignored their orders. I played a clip of him from his pulpit talking about how initially the church cooperated with the shutdown because they wanted to, of course, cooperate in every way they could to keep the emergency rooms able to treat patients because we were all expecting this huge mortality rate out of COVID. But it didn't work out that way. It didn't work out that way at all. In fact, it is not a pandemic by definition anymore, and yet it hasn't been reframed, and people continue to wear the masks and be frightened like you're seeing bodies carried out by your neighbors and your children are dying in droves like the old plagues. That's what they're acting like when it's not reality. So John MacArthur said, he wrote this great article called God Not Caesar is Head of the Church, and A Christ Not Caesar is the Head of the Church. Great article. And he refused to comply. He said, it's a bridge too far. You can't tell us we can't sing. You can't tell us how to operate in a sanctuary. It is not your purview. You are the government. We are the church. And so he's been a real champion. So on the heels of that, they're coming after them with a vengeance. I told you a couple of weeks ago that they reclaimed a parking lot that the church had been leasing for something like 45 years. And so now that church has to find, you can imagine, they need a lot of parking because there are thousands of people. So they have to scramble and find some place to put the cars and arrange for parking. And now they have prohibited the church from conducting, participating in, or attending any indoor worship services. The order also bans outdoor worship unless onerous restrictions are followed in a heavy-handed move against the internationally known preacher and his congregation. So that's what's happening with John MacArthur. There's probably more to that story that I don't know, but that happened maybe over the weekend I got that. Scott Atlas, you know Scott is the doctor, went to the University of Chicago, which is a very prestigious school. I should know. I didn't go, but I'm from Chicago, and I can tell you it's a very prestigious school. He's a doctor who's on the West Coast now, and he's part of the president's task force on coronavirus. And you've seen Scott speak out because he has a different view of Anthony Fauci. And he's been pretty bold about things that have been exaggerated. And guess what? YouTube just censored Dr. Scott Atlas because the things that he says contradict the World Health Organization. So Dr. Scott Atlas, who is an expert on infectious diseases and other things, widely respected until he got involved in this issue, has been removed from YouTube because he couldn't possibly know what the World Health Organization knows, who have, by the way, changed their minds a million times on this pandemic and on masks and all of it. But Dr. Scott Atlas, he cannot be heard by you because, you know, dangerous. Just like those doctors who talked to us about hydroxychloroquine and how effective it was and were then banned from YouTube and Facebook. Try posting something about them and see what happens to you. And then we have the NFL. And I know I haven't spoken about what happened on Sunday, but I'll let you. You can get that from other sources, too. But I can tell you one thing they did. They have now threatened, through the NFL Vice President of Football Operations, Troy Vincent. He has sent a stern memo to every team. He did that yesterday, warning coaches and assistant coaches that they'd better wear masks. If they don't, there'll be something serious that will happen to them. Because some of the coaches on the sidelines, you know, trying to yell out to their guys, talk to their guys through the little speakers, did not wear face masks. Now, the players didn't wear face masks. And I guess I didn't notice. Did you notice that the players, were they social distancing? I mean, I would really like to see a football game where the players stay 6 to 8 feet apart, wouldn't you? They didn't have on masks either out there on the field. So I just wonder if COVID somehow knows. It's a very smart virus. I guess it knows that if there are football players on the field playing, then they can't infect people. They just stop because it's a football game. And whenever they're playing, when players are interacting and actually touching each other and banging heads and whatever else it is they're doing, COVID cannot infect people. It stops when the football game is on. Now, on the sidelines where the coaches are, 30 feet away, whatever, where they are, you know, talking and instructing, that's different. That's where COVID really gets busy and infects coaches and people on the sidelines. And so it's amazing to me. And I find it, too, with COVID. This has always been fascinating to me how when you are walking into a restaurant, you can be infected, so you have to wear your mask till you go to your table and sit down because COVID especially knows that when you are in that situation, that's when it can have just a blast infecting people. But as soon as your food comes, COVID knows that your food is here now, and so you can eat with the people at your table and you take your mask off, and it will not infect you during that period of time. I think that it's an amazing thing to me. Of course, I'm being sarcastic because that's how ridiculous things have become. And yet we continue to cower and pretend as though this is real. And I want to, it is real. Some people are getting sick and some people have died. That part is real. But I want to remind you that the CDC themselves told us just what, last week or the end of the week before, that number of deaths that they've been reporting, 161,392, it's probably higher than that now, a little bit higher. Only 6% actually died of COVID. Oh, really? You mean 161,392 people have not died of COVID? You mean 96% of those people died from something else but died with COVID? The car accidents, motorcycle accidents, electrocutions, all kinds of stuff, and a huge percentage of them were elderly, too. It's not a pandemic. It's not a pandemic. It's a fraud in the way it's being presented, and it's caused this country irreparable harm. In closing businesses, in hurting churches, preventing them from worship, people that are, I just talked to someone who lost his wife and has not been able to come to church and has spent so many lonely months not able to come and worship. You think of people going through divorces. I just talked to a guy the other day, had gone through a very painful divorce in January. And he's a serious Christian, grieving, has not been able to go to church. Well, some of you would say, yes, but life is being preserved. Well, I would argue that that whole notion of us preserving that many lives is just not true, and we have not not true. It's minimal. It's marginal compared to the number of people who are suffering because of this shutdown. I want to share with you some things that were sent to me this morning. There's a whole series of memes that someone's circulating. Actually, the name is, they were posted by Justin Hart. I don't know if Justin is responsible. But it says, if you're under the age of 65, the chances of dying of COVID-19 are the same risks you take driving on your commute to work. Okay? Oh, actually, that's from Stanford professor John Leonidas. These are different people have made these analyses. Okay, so the next one is, are you between the ages of 20 and 40? Well, your chances of dying of COVID-19 are the same as dying while playing football. Then the next one says, if you're between the ages of 15 and 24, you have a better chance of dying from falling down the stairs than dying of COVID. And then it goes on to say, the risks of dying from this disease for most Americans are very low. Let's get back to work and to school. Kids under 15 have a better chance of getting hit by lightning than dying of COVID-19. Healthy women under 40, your chances of dying of COVID-19 are about the same as dying in a plane crash. And those are the ones that I have. I'm sure there are a lot more people could create, but I'm just trying to put it in perspective for you. We should probably put those memes on our Facebook page so that people can see it. All right, so on the good side of things, if this is good, in Pennsylvania, a federal judge has ruled against Governor Wolf and the transgender health official. Her last name is Levin. His last name depends on, you know, how you view this. It's a very I don't even know what to say about it. Long hair and glasses and a very manly person who's now supposedly a woman. And that's more of the nonsense that we're enduring these days. It's Tom Wolf. He's the governor. The federal judge Monday struck down Tom Wolf's pandemic restrictions that require people to stay at home, placed size limits on gatherings, and ordered non-life-sustaining businesses to shut down, calling them unconstitutional. So I'm hoping that this will be a beginning for many other states. You know, in California, as you know, that hairdresser that was that owned the salon where Nancy Pelosi went illegally to get her hair done, not wearing a mask, I don't think she's suing, but a lot of people in Northern California are, because their businesses are shut down. They can't survive. They can't, and they're now, you know, making this indefinite. Some of these governors, until there's a vaccine, until there's a cure for COVID. We don't even have a cure for AIDS, and we're still operating, aren't we? Isn't AIDS more deadly than COVID? Yes, I believe so. There are treatments for the symptoms now, but it was 100% deadly when it first came out, and we did not wait for a vaccine to open up the country. In fact, we never shut anything down. It's gotten ridiculous. And so, by the way, in Pennsylvania, the percentage of people that have died, if you can assume that the number is correct, and this is not factoring in, you know, the things we talked about that the CDC just pointed out, that they're, you know, counting people who die with COVID but have other things that have caused them to die. But in Pennsylvania, given their numbers, assuming their numbers are correct, that 7,800 people have died, you have a 0.06% chance of dying from COVID in Pennsylvania. At least you had. You know, probably now it's much less than that. And that brings me to that whole thing of herd immunity, which is what, I don't know where that article is, but there's a herd, I think it's in Sweden, where they think they've just about reached herd immunity, which means that everyone, when we hear these numbers about, you know, people, over 4,000 people have tested positive today. That's actually a good thing if they don't have symptoms. It means that they have built an immunity. They have come in contact with the virus. They did not get sick. That's actually a good thing. And by the way, Daniel Horowitz has written a good article called Emasculation, How We Have Been Lied to So Dramatically About Masks. And we will put that on our Facebook page so that you can read it and share it, because I think you should. I think it's time to wake up, people. I think we're going to have to start calling each other out. We've got to get this country open. We've got to save children who are being abused. Did you hear last week we had a guy call who counsels with abused children and how bad it is now that children are not in school or in church so that someone can see that they're being abused at home? We have to stop this madness, and only you and I can do it. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.